Today we turn our attention to the very last perek, the very last chapter of Tanakh. Tragic ending, but hopeful last phrase. It is Divrei HaYomim Beis, Lamed Vov, Perek 36. In the last perek, we read of the tragic ending of the life of Yoshiyahu, who was popular, who was essentially a tzaddik, who did very important things, really the last of the Jewish kings who was a tzaddik, a full tzaddik. And now we turn to the Am Ha'oretz again, the masses, the people, the populace, who choose as Yoshiyahu's successor, his son Yehoahaz. Yehoahaz reigned very briefly, 3 months. And the Melech Mitzrayim, king of Egypt, removed him from his position as king. This is the nadir, the low point to which the Jewish people had fallen, that a foreign king could remove at will a Jewish king. And not only did he remove Yehoahaz from the position of king, but he placed a very heavy tax upon the Jewish people. And he appointed the king of Egypt, Eliakim. Eliakim, the brother of Yehoahaz, another son of Yoshiyahu. And he appointed him upon Yehuda of Yerushalayim, but he changed Eliakim's name to Yehoyakim. And Rashi comments, interestingly enough, that when a ruler, a monarch, or other powerful person wishes to display his power, he changes the name of his appointed officers. We find this many places in Tanakh. Paro changed Yosef's name. Lahavdil, Moshe changed Hoshea's name. And here, the king of Egypt changes Eliakim's name to Yehoyakim. What did he do with Yehoahaz, the first of the sons of Yoshiyahu to be king? This man, the king of Mitzrayim, Necho, schlepped him, exiled him to Egypt, where we presume he died. Yehoyakim had a longer reign, 11 years, and of him it is said, Vaya'as Hora, he did evil, he was a wicked king. And as a punishment, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, attacked and bound Yehoyakim in copper chains to bring him to Babel. We are told that he died on the way to Babel. Not only did Nebuchadnezzar take the king Yehoahaz to Babel, but he also took with him some of the Kalim, some of the utensils of the Beis HaMikdosh, and put them in his palace in Babel. The rest of the story of Yehoyakim, exactly what he did, we are told, is written in the Sefer Malchei Yisrael of Yehuda, in the book, the history book of the Jewish kings. And Yehoyachin reigned after Yehoyakim. Yehoyachin was the son of Yehoyakim, the grandson of Yoshiyahu. So we have King Yoshiyahu. He was succeeded by one of his sons, Yehoahaz, who was displaced. And another of Yoshiyahu's sons, Yehoyakim, then reigned. After him reigned Yehoyachin, the son of Yehoyakim or Eliakim. Jehoiachin was a young boy, 8 years old, when he reigned, but his reign was very brief, 3 months and 10 days. And he too, Vaya'as hora be'enei Hashem, in his brief term, 3 months and a bit, he managed to get for himself the title Vaya'as hora. He did wicked things. And soon, Nebuchadnezzar sent two for Jehoiachin and dragged him to Bavel together with klei chemdas beis Hashem, some very precious utensils. And the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Shekolim, in the pagination to be found in the Talmud Bavli, it's on Daf Tesvov Amit Beis, there was a second opinion about what happened to ultimately to the Aron Kodesh. In previous Perokim, we cited the opinion of Chazal that the Oron was Nignaz. The Oron lies buried somewhere underneath the site of the Beis HaMikdosh. Another opinion has it that here, when the Klei Chemdo, the precious Kelim, were brought by Nebuchadnezzar, when he exiled Jehoiachin, he also brought along with him Klei Chemdo. The Klei Chemdo, this opinion holds, was the Oron, which was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar to Bavel. And in Jehoiachin's place, he appointed Tzidkiyahu Ochiv, Tzidkiyahu his brother. This would make Tzidkiyahu a brother of Jehoiachin, a son of Jehoiakim, and a grandson of Yoshiyahu. However, in Sefer Melochim, we learned that Tzidkiyahu was called the Dod, the uncle of Jehoiachin, presumably the brother of Jehoiakim and another son of Yoshiyahu. And Tzidkiyahu became king. He reigned for 11 years in Yerushalayim, but of him too it is said, Vaya'as hora, he did evil, he did wicked things. What was his wickedness? The Torah says, Lo nichna milifnei Yirmiyahu hanovi mipi Hashem. Yirmiyahu hanovi, the great prophet Jeremiah, lived through all of these last few prokim, through the king of Yoshiyahu, through the reign of Yoshiyahu, through the reign of Jehoahaz and Eliakim, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin, and Tzidkiyahu. But they did not listen to Yirmiyahu, and specifically Tzidkiyahu did not listen to Yirmiyahu. Not only that, but he was rebellious against Nebuchadnezzar. Yirmiyahu counseled, in a sense, peace at all costs. Obey Nebuchadnezzar. Don't rebel against the mighty power of Nebuchadnezzar. But Tzidkiyahu was stubborn. Vayekesh es orpo, vayameitz es livavo. He wouldn't do tshuva. He wouldn't turn to Yirmiyahu. He would not consult with him. During this time, he, the Kohanim, the people, all rebelled against God and profaned the Beis HaMikdosh. Interestingly enough, we are told that at this point, the Ribbono Shel Olam, rather than immediately venting his wrath and punishing the Jewish people, sent melochim, messengers, neviim, and he sent them hashkem v'shaloach, again and again and again. Ki chomal al amo v'al ma'ono, because Ribbono Shel Olam had pity upon his people. He had compassion for his ma'on, for his dwelling place, for the Beis HaMikdosh. And he wanted to give the Jewish people every conceivable chance. So he sent these malochim, he sent these messengers, hashkem v'shaloach, early and again and again and again, to no avail. Vayihiyu malivim b'malacheihu v'alokim uvozim devoro. The people insulted these messengers of God. They scorned his words. Umita'ati'im b'neviyov, and they mocked the prophets, until finally, ad le'ein marpei, there was no cure, and God's wrath bubbled over. Gemara tells us, Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Yichorvo Yerushalayim Ela Bishvil Shepizu Bo Talmidei Chachomim. The ultimate reason for the destruction of Jerusalem was because the people degraded, insulted Talmidei Chachomim. As this pasuk says, Vayehi Malivim B'malachei HaElokim. Ein Marpe. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kol HaMavazeh Talmid Chochom Ein Lo Refu Olamakosu. No small matter to be mevazeh, to insult a Talmud Chacham. There's no refuah, no cure for such a person. And because of this, Vayal Aleihem Es Melech Kastim, the king of the Chaldeans, the king of the Babylonians, came up against the Jewish people. Vayaharog Bachureihem Bacherev Beveis Miktoshom, he killed their young lads or their chosen soldiers by the sword in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo chomal al bachur v'sulo zokein v'yoshesh. They had pity neither for the young man or young woman nor for the elders. No pity. Rashi points out that the Kastim were known as a lowly people. Zeho am lo hoyo is how Yeshaya says. Nothing people. So that here, with the Kasdim, with the nation that ultimately brought down the Jewish people, the Pasuk in Ahazinu is fulfilled. Hem kin uni below ale, vani akniam below am, begoino vol achise. I will bring up against them a nation which is no nation, a puny, lowly nation. Am a goy novol, a knavish, fiendish people who have no mercy, unlike most armies who have mercy at least upon the very young and upon the very old. They had no mercy. Not only did they kill the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, but for chol kalei beis ha'elokim ha'gedolim v'ha'katanim v'yotzros beis Hashem v'yotzros ha'melech v'soro v'akol levi bovel. They brought to Bavel all of the utensils of the Holy Temple, large and small. All of the treasures, all of the royal treasures, everything was brought to Bavel. And here one cannot help but cry. Vayisrifu es beis Elohim. They burned down the Holy Temple. Vayinatsu es chomas Yerushalayim. They smashed the walls of Jerusalem. All of the palaces were burned by fire. Everything was ruined. And all those who remained alive, who were not slain by the sword, were all exiled to Bavel. And there they became slaves for the king of the Kastim and his children after him. And they remained enslaved until the kingdom of Poros, of Persia, of Media, began to reign. Bavel fell and Poros rose to power. And all this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. This is where the story ends, but it doesn't end there. Because Bavel has its downfall. Very little is told to us about that downfall. But the conquerors of Bavel was Poras. And Koresh, Cyrus, the king of Poras, early on in his kingdom, Ribono Shel Olam inspired him. Heir Hashem es ruach Koresh molech Poras. God inspired him. And he sent out a proclamation and a written document saying, this is the statement of policy of Koresh, the king of Poras. God has given me, Koresh recognized that his power was given to him by God. God has given me kol mamlechos ha'oretz, all of the kingdoms of the world. I am a world emperor. V'hu fokad olai divnos lo vayis birushalayim asher biyehuda. And God has appointed me to rebuild the temple which was destroyed by my enemy and the enemy of the Jews, Bavel. God has appointed me to do so. So therefore, and this is the very last words of Tanakh, mi vochem mikol amo, who among you people, among the Jewish people, who is going to volunteer to return to the land of Israel and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? Mi vochem mikol amo, Adonai Elohov imo v'yo'al. God, his God, will be with him, and let him go up, let him succeed. And here, Rashi comments, Kach hoyo hachruz al hamadinos. This was the announcement which Koresh sent to all the countries under his domain. Mi v'chol amo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who, among all of God's people, will volunteer to rebuild his temple in Yerushalayim, v'yo'al. And Rashi ends his commentary on all of Tanakh with a little prayer. And that prayer is, v'hi HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ezro, may God be with him who be'ezro senu, and may God be with us, Rashi's saying, us. There's a beautiful Yalkut Shemoni, which says that after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people returned and they had a geula and they rebuilt the temple. But it was because of the assistance and because of the policies of a human king, of a Melech Basar Adam. However, the future redemption, La'asid Lavo, we will not have to rely upon a Koresh, upon a human benefactor. But Lasid Lavo Atem Nigolim Al Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will be redeemed by God himself. Geulas Olam She'ein Achareho Shibud. A permanent geula with no ensuing, no subsequent slavery. She'nemar, as the Pasuk says, Ufeduyei Hashem Yishuvun. Those who were redeemed by God himself will one day return. Uvot Zion Verino. They will return to Zion with song. The Simchas Olam Al Rosham. And upon their heads will be an eternal joy, a joy forever. And so we finish Nachyomi, the first cycle. The first time that in this format we have finished together, hundreds of us, perhaps thousands, studying on a daily basis, finishing the entire Nevi'im Uksuvim, beginning with Yehoshua Aleph and ending with Dira Hayomim Beis Lamed Vav. But of course, tomorrow we begin again, start all over from Yehoshua Aleph. And we have the Siyata Dishmaya, that just as the Ribbono Shelolam has helped us finish this cycle of Nachyomi, he will help us begin and complete a new cycle. And together may we hopefully all rejoice in the prophecy with which I just ended, Ufduye Hashem Yeshuvun, Uvo Tzion Verino, V'Simchas Olam Al Rosham.